Welcome to episode 13 of the Active Photographer Podcast, your behind-the-scenes glimpse into the day-to-day life of a working professional photographer, with me, Giles Babbage. So, it was focused on imaging at the NEC in Birmingham last week, and I wondered just how many of you went along. I was there for a couple of days, taking in all the latest developments hitting the photography world, and of course, I made the point of speaking to as many people as time would allow. Now, for those of you who don't know, Focus on Imaging is Europe's largest annual imaging show, a place where professional and enthusiast photographers alike can get up close and personal and have a look at all the latest equipment, hear the latest news, and see all the latest trends surrounding the photographic industry. I managed to grab hold of some of the biggest names whilst I was there, all of whom kindly agreed to have a chat for The Active Photographer. And as you'll hear over the next few weeks, they shared some really excellent thoughts, tips, tricks, and creative advice which will help you take great photographs. But before all of that, you need to hear from the lady who makes it all possible. Her name is Mary Walker, and she and I caught up for a quiet chat away from the bustling crowds to find out just what goes into producing this excellent show year after year. So welcome, one and all, to The Active Photographer, episode 13. So, Mary, thank you very much for your time, first of all.
It's a pleasure.
And you must be, as much as I am, noticing that it's a very exciting, it's always exciting, but this year in particular, there is such a hubbub of activity. I think there's a lot of changes in the technical sense. We have DSLR video, we have good speakers, there are always great speakers. Did you have a change in your approach for this year? Is it literally that it's an exciting time for photography?
Every focus is like a launch. I got to tell you, because it's very relevant to your question, that I launched this exhibition 22 years ago because in the United Kingdom at that time we had half a dozen small shows which catered for different sectors of this marketplace. Yeah. And yet in Germany, in Cologne, they had Fotokina,
yeah,
almost from when I was born. I mean, I haven't been going since I was born, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And that did the whole job. If you were interested in anything to do with imaging, that was your show. Everyone was welcome. And I thought, you know, the UK end users should have a show like this.
Absolutely.
Here. Yeah. And so that was the basis for its development. Now, since then, of course, we've had the digital revolution, which has completely transformed the marketplace and made it considerably larger, and it's still in, you know, quite rampant growth.
And so everyone listening, if they are regular showgoers, some go as far as to book a ticket every year to go over, as you say, to Fotokina. They go to Germany, they'll go to PMA, wherever there's a show, they will go there. Now, how do you go about getting such great speakers? I mean, there are recordings that I've made over the last couple of days. We get people like Andy Rouse, who is such a well-known figure now through his charity work, his work as a photographer who's out there and doing and, you know, showing people. This is it. It's all about sharing information. So how do you... Where do you start when you're thinking about who you're going to book to come and actually talk? Do you go to the manufacturers or... What is the process?
Well, firstly, you know, this is the exhibition for the UK. So actually very few end users do go out to Fotokina. They wait for Focus.
Yeah, of course.
The PMA show is, you know, pretty much trade. It's not really photographers who go there. You know, everyone waits for Focus in the UK because it's our show, our big brassy show. With the speakers, I have to say, in all honesty, that enormous credit is due to the exhibiting companies. You know, this is an opportunity for them to talk to their end users, answer their questions, help them with technique and with inspiration. And so very often, the wonderful photographers who present here, you know, have a unique relationship sure. with the manufacturer who mm. will sponsor their activity here.
What I always find quite intriguing is that a lot of people very sceptically will say, "Oh, look, you're saying you're using this particular lens or camera because you're on that stand and they're paying you to do that." A lot of the guys, you know, that are out there talking about showing their portfolios, talking about what they do, they openly say, "Look, this was shot on this," and actually, don't tell, for example, don't tell Nikon, but this was shot on a Panasonic such and such, even on those stands that they have been asked to talk at. So it's a real honesty about what they're doing, and I think people appreciate that. Now, when it comes to sharing information, of course, this is a podcast. This goes out once a week to anyone that's wanting to listen and learn. Do you find that our colleagues overseas in the past have been better with sharing information, whether it's off the back of a show or just generally? Is there a marked difference? I know, for example, in this industry, and certainly in my area, in the past, for example, if you were a photographer and I'm a photographer, we could never have a conversation because you take my techniques or you try and get my clients, and it's very sort of guarded, whereas in America they were very open to this. Do you think that where does Focus stand as a sharing platform, because you've got the stage, people know the show?
I actually view this industry as a family. Mm. It's quite incestuous, but, you know, in a very healthy way.
Yeah.
And I think sharing of information is one of the perks of being in this industry. It's interesting that you mention, you know, using particular kit. I have my own stills photographic crew, and I have my own video crew. Yeah. And, of course, you know, I can't actually promote Focus without featuring equipment.
Yes.
So, you know, I have to guard against showing any particular bias.
Yes.
But having said that, I think because the communication in the industry is so good these days, mm-hmm. because of you know, the advent of email, thank you God,
and social media now,
yes,
of course,
social media.
You know,
yeah. Word gets around that, you know, hey, this company's brought out this fantastic lens, you know, and the number of new products we get now is phenomenal. I used to work on a show before I launched Focus, which had run for 26 years, and it was called Photography at Work. And it was a miracle if there was a launch at that show, which was held every year, because there really wasn't that much innovation or that many, much in terms of product development.
Yeah. And this
now it's you know, it's hard to keep up with it.
Well,
so the show becomes even more important.
Yeah.
So it's a brilliant update.
Focus is the UK launch. So, for example, with Fujifilm, I've been trying all day to catch up with them. They're very busy people because there's a lot of hype surrounding the X100 rangefinder. Now, they are using Focus as you've pointed out, the key time in the UK to be answering questions, showing off that product, letting people get their hands on and ask those questions. And as you've said, you have to have a neutral stance on it, and that's fair enough. But people come here year after year. We obviously, Matt, who listeners will know, Matt Sills, we did a show a few weeks ago. He jokingly says to you that I have sort of laminated copies of all the old show programs because I'm that sort of geeky, what have you. It is true that I do have all the catalogues for all the shows I've ever been to for Focus, but then that's because I'm just as enthusiastic as everyone that comes to this show. And for them to come and see all the big names, that does have such a big impact, because we all sit on front of computers, we all go on forums, and with the likes of Facebook and Twitter, we all know the names that are buzzing out there. But to actually see, nothing beats where you see, for example, the Nikon bright white and yellow right in front of you. It's got to have an impact in itself.
I have worked in sales and marketing all of my working life, and I've always been a creative, and of course this industry is heaven on earth for me, because it's full of creatives. And you know, I've enjoyed working with numerous really talented photographers, And one of the reasons, Giles, that you love our catalogue cover so much is because they're so damn good.
Mm, yeah.
And we're always reinventing. Mm. You know, we can't ever stand still. There's, even after 22 years, like, there's all these new ideas,
well, it's,
you know,
the same
for next year, the year after that.
Yeah. And it's the same with the people that are out there showing off their equipment. They can't sit back and expect to have market share, because the moment they start getting a little bit complacent, their competitors are going to come along and release a new line or a new launch or something.
I'd like to tell your listeners something that may not have ever occurred to them. The manufacturers spend enormous amounts of money on their stand designs. Mm. And I was chatting with Nick on yesterday, and they were explaining to me that, you know, they've noticed, you know, with previous stands, they might have some, you know, some congestion, which has helped them to have a better layout this year, so that more people can get in and more people can actually see. And so I think, you know, there's always something new to learn about exhibitions. But it's not that, you know, some... I'm sure none of your listeners think this remotely, but, you know, we have occasionally had an inquiry, like 3 months after the show, to say, I left my coat on stand C23. Is it still there? Well, actually, this show is built in 2 days. Mm. The show is on for 4 days. They begin to dismantle the stands at 5:05 tomorrow night.
And as we record this, it is the Tuesday.
Yeah, and it will all be gone by lunchtime on Thursday.
It's incredible, isn't it? The speed and the turnaround.
Yes, and but we're in the imaging business, so this is a glossy show. It's very image oriented.
It's very much
it's
like
very
the,
glamorous. Yeah. It's very beautiful.
It's like the car shows back in the '50s, where it's all about the glitz, the glam, the new products. So I mean, you've picked up on an interesting point there. The end of the show, you're almost immediately going to be thinking about next year's show. If you have, well, you will have already been begun thinking.
I began working on Focus 2012 a couple of months ago.
Well, there you go.
Prior to that, it would be the thought process is ongoing.
Yeah,
you know, it never stops.
Yeah. And it's. I suppose it must be a challenge for you to think, where do we, and I use the term we, because as you've said, it is a family, and the people that you bring on board to help you with the promotional side, the photography, the video, and whatever you choose to employ. It's a case of coordinating people, and how do you go about, where is your starting point? We said next year's show, 2012, where do you start with your... Do you think about a theme? Do you get people together and say, what would you like to see? Do you listen to people's feedback first of all? Where do you start? It must be a mammoth task to get the ball rolling, to actually push forward.
Another fantastic thing about this industry is that it's full of creatives. Mm. So actually, having fresh ideas is something that we do every day, you know. And we're all of like mind in that, you know, hey, we can do this, and hey, we can do that. And interestingly, of course, many exhibitors have come in, as you say, it's Tuesday, the show only opened on Sunday morning. Exhibitors have already come in rebooking their stand space for next year.
Fantastic.
Or asking for additional space or to move stand space.
Yeah.
So it is perpetual motion. Mm. You know, it's evolving all of the time. And even if I tried to stop it, I couldn't. But of course I wouldn't.
Well, it's interesting. I was talking to one of your colleagues in the organiser's office earlier. And so I've been coming here for years, and I always enjoy it no matter. It's important for me to meet with my suppliers and to talk to familiar faces and what have you. But something seems different this year. There seems to be such an energy to the place, and that's what took me back. Maybe it's because I'm getting more involved with people, sort of actually going up to people on their stands, talking about real life, what they want to be saying to listeners and what have you. But there is this real energy, and something that I particularly like, for example, you have Drew Gardner, who is over on the I think it's the Phase 1 stand, and he's been here for some years now, and of course you see 12 months of developed work from him as well, so he's inspiring people year after year as well. So it is. I'm going to really look forward to next year to see how it's moved on even further.
I think that we're an industry of movers and shakers, which is almost unique to our industry. It's a personality-driven industry. And, you know, we're never going to stand still. We're always looking ahead, to the next new bit of kit and to something being faster and slicker and better. And
you've talked there about how, you know, you're already fielding questions and feedback from people who are wanting to rebook and what have you. When it comes to sort of future years, you're obviously always trying to get new people on board to exhibit, which is can only be a good thing for the industry. I've seen a number of new people that I'm very glad they're here, but I wasn't expecting it. That, of course, there is word of mouth, it passes on. Do you, because of course it's in the interest of the end user, is it a self-driven thing now? Because you've been doing this for so long, does it push itself along?
I commend your observational skills, because you can't sell a stand at any exhibition to somebody who doesn't want one.
Yeah.
Clearly, we're getting a lot more interest now from new companies starting up who realise this is a fabulous launch pad, and also overseas companies. There are a record number of not only new exhibitors but overseas exhibitors here. The reputation of Focus has, you know, gone before us, and so the growth actually is part of the history of the show, rather than being, I mean, you know, any deliberate effort to try and get new business.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, as a marketeer, I'm interested in new business.
Of course.
But you can't manufacture it. It's either there or it isn't. But the better the show gets, the more companies come. And there will be many, many companies visiting this week with a view to exhibiting at Focus next year.
And for those, you know, we're talking to people here, a lot of whom will have visited many times. It may even be their first year, and a lot of what I'm talking about over the next few weeks on the show will be familiar because they will have visited those stands. For those who have never visited the show, we should probably just explain sort of the ranges at the NEC in Birmingham, here in the UK. What are typical figures in terms of the quantity of the number of people that visit the show over the course of either a day or across of the whole duration? Do you have sort of feel? I mean, we are talking, if you lined everyone up, it would just be such a huge number.
Last year we had over 37,000 visitors. I have to wait until the end of this show to get my audit, but it certainly growth is apparent. That is something which happens annually too, because digital has expanded the marketplace, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
And I think that could explain why the manufacturers are still so dedicated to coming here and presenting their products. You know, and they do it with such enthusiasm. You know, they're not just trying to flog kit. They're passionate about their products.
And that is exactly it, isn't it?
And they're passionate about helping photographers, you know, to improve their own businesses, to capture, you know, spectacular images. And, you know, we're all working together. That's, again, something about this industry which I absolutely love, which is very apparent.
And that's interesting. I was talking to one of the manufacturers over here, and we were talking about just very generally about the idea of competition and how if your competitor is within, you know, if you can see them across the walkway, what have you, a lot of people would assume you think, well, you know, sort of whether they're there or not, it's you know, dodgy. They want their competitors to be here because it makes them up their game to keep on board their current users. And when someone says, oh, I've just gone and spoken to such and such over there, I see that you have a similar product in a similar price bracket, why should I choose your cameras rather than theirs, or why should I use your lighting system than theirs? they've got to really keep on top of their game to keep the customers. And of course, it just goes round and round.
The end users are driving the product development, and that's really healthy.
Yeah.
That's how it ought to be.
Yeah.
And we don't deliberately place competitive companies within eye line of each other, because I think that can make visitors feel uncomfortable. You know, if they've just had superb attention and time from, you know, one company, they don't really want to be seen to be going to a competitor to get the same.
Sure.
But having said that, I think there's enormous mutual respect in this industry. For, you know, companies of a competitive nature. And it, again, I'm sorry to repeat myself, it's the old family thing.
Yeah.
You know, you might want to get more money through your till than somebody else's, but you know, we're a family. We coexist.
So how does
peacefully?
How does it work then? If you're thinking, obviously, it's nice to get new suppliers, new companies on board, looking ahead to say 2012 to the next year's show. There is only so much space in the exhibition hall. How do you, in light of what you've just said about trying to keep some kind of separation between competitive companies, how do you, is it presumably every year dependent on the size of individual companies' stands and what have you, that is a large consideration in how you can fit so many manufacturers in, where you look at some of them, their displays are huge, whereas some people are very small and you can slot them into smaller areas. So what comes first? Do you see who the large stands are going to be and then work out the floor plan?
There is, of course, a first refusal commitment between myself and my exhibitors on their existing stands. You know, that's a very interesting question, and one thing we haven't touched on is the actual size of this exhibition. Now, the floor area is approximately 20,000 square metres.
Wow.
And most people who come here for the first time are staggered by the size of the event.
Yeah.
Now, Jules, I have to accept that, you know, visitors have got to have a chance to get around as much of this show as possible and see everything they want to see without, you know, dropping like flies from exhaustion. So, you know, the growth of the show is quite carefully controlled. I would never turn exhibitors away, but, you know, we could obviously get to a position where we have to go for a third. Well, we've got 2.5 halls. We might need to go to a third hall.
Yeah.
But if you can't physically do it in a day, you've got to start thinking, is this actually getting too big? I mean, look at Evolution.
Yes.
There are loads and loads and loads of newbies. Some of them are startups. They don't always survive the rest of the year. They get a great kickstart here, but that might not be enough. Also, there are companies that have been going for 30 years who haven't met the challenges of digital and are falling by the wayside. So you've got quite a good natural balance between new exhibitors and finding space to enable them to present their products here.
And I think one of the great things with the NEC as a complex, generally, there is accommodation very close by. So it's not unusual for people to make focus on imaging their weekend indulgence, that they can say, look, we'll get a group of people together, we'll all stay at the local hotel. And then you can start to plan to make the absolute most, just going back to speakers, throughout the course of a day you might have 4-5 speakers on a particular stand, and if every one of those are people that you look up to and want to listen to, having a couple of days at it is going to be fantastic.
Well, I would say that the trend is definitely to spend more than one day here. But then, you know, everyone has time constraints. This is a great show. You know, if you've only got a day, it's definitely worth the journey.
And there's always going to be sort of one or two key items or key companies that you've been waiting all year just to get two minutes of their time.
We produce and distribute a free catalogue So visit, and we supply seating, so visitors can sit down in comfort. They can, you know, browse through the catalogue, highlight the must-see stands, and fit focus into a day if they have to, but then next year I'm sure they will come for 2 days.
Yeah. Well, Mary, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. It's again, it's another great focus on imaging. I, as I've said before, always come up here anyway. I think it's good for me as a photographer to keep on top of developments. It's good for, as you say, the end user, people that are keen enthusiasts. I personally am very glad to hear that, as I have never doubted, you've very much got your marketing head screwed on and you can see the future, which, it, let's be honest, it would be very easy to get so caught up in a in an exhibition of this scale, of an expo this scale, that, you know, you'd have to sort of step back and rethink. But clearly, focus on imaging has a way forward. You know what's going on. You've got the big names here. And it can only go from strength to strength.
Absolutely. Well, Jos, I'm very grateful to have been given the opportunity to talk to you.
Oh, pleasure.
And I thank your listeners very, very much indeed for their interest. And hopefully we can look forward to welcoming them to Focus.
Excellent. Absolutely. And I will be, of course, linking in the show notes to Focus on Imaging, along with other people that I've been speaking to over the course of the show. So there's readily all the information any new visitors could wish and want to get their hands on. So Mary, thank you very much. Like I say, I'll be bringing you a whole series of great interviews over the next few weeks with all manner of exhibitors who are at this year's show. You can expect to hear from the likes of Nikon, Manfrotto, Lopro and Fujifilm, as well as from some names who you may not immediately be familiar with. You can check out all the show notes to this and other week's shows at theactivephotographer.com. If you'd like to get in touch directly, don't forget I'm on Twitter, at Giles Babbage. My Facebook page is Giles Babbage Photography. And of course, you can send me a good old-fashioned email, giles@theactivephotographer.com. So thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, have a great week, and I'll speak to you all very soon.